Dr. Arthur Vandenberg had abandoned his isolationism, and so had I. In fact, Arthur Vandenberg had become the chief Republican champion of international cooperation. He strongly supported President Truman's Marshall Plan and the North Atlantic Alliance. More significantly, from my point of view, Senator Arthur Vandenberg quietly encouraged me to challenge the veteran Republican congressman from this district, who was a pillar of the isolationist sentiment in the House of Representatives. Thanks to the efforts of so many of you here, I won. And for 25 years, whether the administration was Democratic or Republican, I worked to keep the United States strong and the free nations united. I saw the democracies of Western Europe, the Americas, and the Pacific rise to new levels of productivity and prosperity for their peoples. I witnessed the growing effectiveness of NATO and of our other allies on the frontiers of freedom. And I know that only through these common undertakings have we escaped global war for more than a generation. As president, I gave the nurturing of such partnerships for mutual security my highest priority. So it is deeply gratifying to me that this dedication is more than a local or even a national event. To have such distinguished friends as President Lopez Portillo, Prime Minister Trudeau, former President Giscard d'Estaing, and Foreign Minister Sinodo is not only a warm and gratefully received gesture to our friendship, but also a renewed expression of confidence in the United States as a reliable ally under the strong leadership of President Reagan. As long as the Lord permits, I will continue to advocate closer cooperation among the free nations, a greater sharing of the benefits and the burdens of preserving the peace. Yet I perceive a revival of isolationism in today's world, spreading like the elusive fruit fly. Under whatever guise, the new isolationism, like the old, represents a futile dream of going it alone. The new isolationism springs from natural impulses and national frustrations and traditions, as did earlier waves of American isolationism. The Nazis did not invent the old isolationism, but they counted on it to divide the defenders of freedom. Neither have the communists contrived the new isolationism, but they are cheering it on. It feeds on the fear that the United States has lost its power or its resolution, that it is rapacious, reckless, and unreliable. If ever there was belief in such alarms, you, Mr. President, strengthened with the emphatic mandate given to you by the American people, have dispelled such notions. Tonight, the United States is surely rebuilding its capability and its credibility. As I said in my farewell message to the Congress, to be first in peace, we can never be second in defense. But military and material strength alone, and this is the surest lesson the past can teach the present, even the awesome might of this great and good land will not prevail if we fail to stand united in purpose and perseverance. If freedom falls, it will fall one isolated citadel at a time. I do not believe for a moment that the fall of freedom is imminent. Yet, remembering the summer of 1940, we should take warning in time. And I, for one, would rather the leaders of tomorrow learn the lessons from the Ford Museum than on the beaches of the Pacific or Normandy. It is my hope and Betty's that all our good friends who have helped to complete this magnificent structure and fill it with a portion of America's past will regard this day as an end, not an end, but rather as a beginning. The unfinished work of this world is always more than that which has been accomplished. While we can never do all we wish, we must always do what we can. I am profoundly grateful for the kind words that have been said about me, but the finest tribute of all will be to see the Gerald R. Ford Museum living and growing and constructive and useful. Shortly after assuming the office of president, I said, "The world is not a lonely place. There is light and life and love enough for us all." I continue to believe that. And I thank all of you here today for giving me more than my share. Thank you, and God bless you.
Our Father and our God, we stand today beside your servant, the 38th President of the United States of America, Gerald R. Ford, and his family. We are thankful for his service to this great land, to this great state, and to this city, and to the world. And our heads are held high with pride as we bring to a close this dedication of an edifice that will, for years to come, carry the message of the work he did in public office. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. And as each goes from this place to take up their daily routines, be bound and protected by his love. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our dedication ceremony. Thank you all for coming.